You're listening to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. In this podcast, you'll hear the audio from one of our live discussions. Please join the discussion at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.
I had a question. And maybe this is a bit of an unfair question because I know, Ted, your expertise is biblical archaeology, but I was wondering about how you view the spiritual claims of religions with that also have, you know, rich archaeological and historical backgrounds, like Buddhism and Buddhist missionaries and temples, and like the rapid spread of Islam. And so in your mind, like, what is the difference between those traditions and the historical record and that of Christianity?
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I love that question. It's great. I actually I watch a ton of stuff and read a lot of other side stuff on other archaeology besides biblical archaeology. And so one of my favorite places in the world is actually Istanbul. I've been there three times. And as you know, of course, Istanbul is incredibly historically rich city. There's mosque and churches and tons of other buildings around historically of Istanbul. But here's how I'd answer that. The religions don't make historical claims. Well, there is one makes a historical claim, but the archaeology doesn't back it up, and that's Mormonism. It's things like Buddhism. It's more of it's more like meditation, and Hinduism is not necessarily making historical claims. It's not saying that Buddha did something historically and that can be verified. The central claim of the New Testament is that what the New Testament writers are saying is that they believe that their founder rose again from the dead. And that claim is embedded in a historical document that we call the New Testament. And one of the questions that you can ask about that document is it historically reliable? Now, let me say this, though. This may be kind of what you're getting at, though, with your question. And I really do appreciate the question. I'm just going to state it. I'm just going to be flat out and state it. I don't think that archaeology by itself can prove Christianity. I know that might sound shocking. You're like, well, why did you come speak tonight? Well, I believe it's a very strong ally for what we believe, but I don't think by itself can prove the resurrection or the central claims of Christianity. I take a different approach in my defense of the claims of Christianity. I went to seminary at SES in Charlotte, North Carolina, years ago. I studied under Dr. Norman Geisler, who is a really brilliant philosopher and thinker and apologist. And so I'm actually a classical apologist. So my belief is that first, you have to do theistic arguments. So resurrections don't happen unless there's a God, unless there is a spaceless, timeless being who created the universe. You can have all the evidence all day long. You can have all this amazing evidence, but it's not going to prove necessarily a resurrection. But all that to say is that I haven't talked about God's existence yet. That is not really what I was here to talk about. But I do think that there are good arguments for God's existence. And you can, of course, look at the Kalam argument. I know that Matt perhaps has talked about arguments in this format before. There's a philosopher in California that I really like named Ed Fazer, and he has a couple of books. One is called Five Proofs of the Existence of God, which he focuses on the philosophical arguments of Aristotle, Plotinus, Augustine, Aquinas, and Leibniz. And there are, of course, many other books, too. But if you really wanted to dig into the details for God's existence, then there are a lot of sources that you could look at. But archaeology is really a piece of the puzzle of the overall case. To really stand back further and look at it in a bigger format, I think that archaeology is very important because it helps to establish the New Testament is giving us reliable historical information. It doesn't prove miracles. Miracles can only happen in a theistic universe, because if there's no creator, then miracles can't happen. And then by definition, anything that the historical documents record, if there's no God, then they just can't possibly happen. Now, my friend and colleague, and I know him really well, and he's a very dear friend. I consider him a dear friend. I've known him for years. Is Mike Lacona. And Mike is a New Testament historian, but Mike is a pure evidentialist. And Mike has debated Bart Ehrman at UNC Chapel Hill. And Mike is a great friend. But Mike, his view, his conviction is that he thinks that you can show demonstrably through historical studies and through historical evidence at the New Testament that resurrection actually happened. I would just pause and say it can only happen if there is a theistic God. Whereas Mike would say that you could actually come to the belief in a resurrection purely from the historical records themselves. And so I think it's a technical disagreement that we have, but I do believe that resurrections only can happen if there is a God. If there's not a God, then resurrections can't happen by definition. But I think the archaeological evidence for these other cultures is amazing, is remarkable. Buddhism has left some amazing structures. Hinduism has left some amazing structures. In Istanbul, there's the Blue Mosque. There are some really amazing architecture. But I would say, as far as world archaeology goes, and even human language, I would say that it itself... actually dovetails very well with the picture of the world history according to the Old Testament. And so, anyway, we can get into the details of that if you guys want to later, but hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, and I think as well, there's a point to be made that, you know, what is the archaeological evidence supporting? And so, I mean, with Islam, for example, well, Christians should believe that Muhammad lived, and that Islam spread quickly. And so, you know, it wouldn't be affirming the truth of Islam just because it spread quickly or those kinds of things.
Absolutely. Also, too, let me say this about that. That's a great point, Matt. You're absolutely right. We don't deny that Muhammad didn't live. But a couple of years ago, I interviewed a historian named Dan Gibson, and he found something very interesting he found this, he wasn't looking for it. But I don't know how familiar you guys are with Islam, but you know that most people know and understand that Muslims pray to Mecca three times a day, the morning and, you know, midday prayers and the evening prayers. And they do this in a mosque. And in a mosque, which is their version of a church, their building of worship, their place of worship, there is something called the Qibla, which is a prayer niche. And what Gibson discovered through the study, the earliest mosque, and Islam was founded in like the, 7th century AD, so the 600s AD. And anyway, what he discovered is that the Qibla, the prayer direction of the earliest mosque ever discovered in the history of the world, primarily in Saudi Arabia and in southern Israel, and in, Jordan, they are not pointed toward Mecca. They're actually pointed toward Petra, which is in Jordan. And what Gibson theorizes is that instead of Muhammad getting his message from God in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, he originally got it in Petra, which is in which if you guys have seen the movie Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade, it's that last scene where in that valley, that is the actual historical site of Petra, which was an actual city that was built by a group called the Nabataeans. And these were trade, and he has a lot of evidence to back this up. And this is not just like he's not just trying to be like knee-jerk reaction here. It's meticulous detail. And what he discovered is that Muslim scholars were really brilliant mathematicians and astronomers. So it wasn't like they were making mistakes and putting the Qibla in the mosque in the wrong direction. They knew exactly how to calculate, you know, direction from stars. And so, as it turns out, when the Qibla direction changed, was a major war in Islam of succession. So he believes that in one, the person who actually won, placed the holiest site of Islam in Mecca, making it then the holiest site in Islam. So you can actually look at that video with Dan Gibson on our website or on our YouTube channel, or Matt, I can give you the link for that. But that is an indication of what archaeology can do in other religions. It's, you know, of course, the Quran is claims to be written by Muhammad, but it wasn't written down until after he died, and then it was written on scraps of paper and by his followers. So, but it does make some historical claims about Muhammad and where he was, and the archaeology of the early Quranic mosque indicates that the Qibla prayer direction was originally in pointed toward Mecca, or not Mecca, excuse me, in Petra in Jordan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. If you'd like to join the discussion, please join us at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.